Well, considering it's Valentine's Day, obviously one would think I'm going to talk about love. I guess I will. The first love that we have is a love that we have from God to us. And God showed his love by sending Jesus into the world to show an example of what unconditional love is all about. And so we have that beautiful example, the great teacher, the rabbi, the one person who came to earth to be God and to show love to us all. So hopefully today you can be thankful, grateful for knowing that you have God's love 100% of the time, 24/7, 365, and all through the way into eternity. So you always have love. And then the second part of that, as we see in Jesus' example, that God gave his son to us so that we could have eternal love. So God shows love by giving 100% of his son for us so that we could have eternal life and learn how to love the way Jesus loves. So my question, I guess, for all of us today, as we're on Valentine's Day, thinking about all the relationships we have, the love that we have for one another, whether it's with our spouse, our friends, our family, our church members and congregation friends, and so on and so forth, co-workers, whoever it might be. The question is, do you give 100% of yourself into that relationship? Do you show the same kind of love that God shows and showed in Jesus Christ, giving all of himself for all of us? So it's kind of a question rhetorically, but I think it's also something all of us need to examine. If you want a better relationship with God and with others, whoever that other is, you have to be 100% in that relationship. You have to be willing to give 100% of yourself, all of you, into that relationship. So there's some relationship advice early on in the sermon this morning, but it comes through Jesus' example. And we're going to see through the scriptures this morning what Jesus is talking about and what it means to give 100% and what that takes. In Luke chapter 21, this scripture I'm going to read is a time when Jesus was in the temple and he's watching people give to the temple of God. And he's looking to see what percentage they give. And so it's a measure of him watching and observing and using that example of what giving is all about for all of us. Chapter 21, verse 1. When Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people putting their gifts into the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in 2 pennies. I assure you, he said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them combined. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Everything. So in terms of a tithing gift right here, we often hear this scripture and we think it relates to giving to God, whether or not we're supposed to give 10% of our tithes as the Old Testament teaches. I got a funny feeling that the New Testament teaching is a little bit different. We're called to give 100% to God. But it's not about tithing that this sermon is about, actually, and even here. It's all about how much do we give. You know, the rich people had a surplus, so it didn't cost them anything really. They may have given 10%. We don't really know the amount, but we do know this. They had an awful lot more in their coffers, in their wallets, that they could have given. But they chose to give a tiny piece, it says here, a tiny part of their surplus. So it really shows not the level of what they gave. That's not the importance here. What is important is where their heart was. How were they giving to God? What portion of themselves were they giving to God? Was it just the minimum required, or was it the most as what this widow gave? She gave everything she had, all of it, those 2 pennies. That's what she had to live on, in fact. And so as poor as she was in a sense of financial items in her pocketbook, she gave all of herself for 2 reasons. One, obviously, I believe it's her love for God. She wanted to give to God all of herself, so she gave herself all away. The other side of that is she also was relying on God to continue to bless her. as a poor widow, she was totally dependent on God's blessings to take care of her. She didn't have stacks of money. She wasn't relying on her financial capabilities or her ability to earn a living. She was relying 100% on God. So Jesus points this out, that the fact that, you know, they gave a tiny portion of their surplus, he compares that to they could have given more and they didn't, but it showed the percentage of love they had for God as well as for others. But this woman gave 100% of everything she had. And it's a beautiful example of what Jesus is trying to teach here, is that all of us who are followers of Christ, we have to be all in for Jesus. We have to be all in for God. We have to rely 100% on God for everything we have and everything we need. And we also want to give all of ourselves, whatever, not just in a financial aspect of it, but all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, because obviously that comes from the first commandment. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, all your strength. That, and love your neighbor as yourself. Second most important commandment according to Jesus. So love takes all of us giving all of ourselves, whether it's to God, whether it's to another person. You know, so very often as I do couples counseling, as well as we're getting ready for weddings and things of this nature, people always talk about having a 50-50 relationship, you know, giving, you know, they're 50-50. I always try to tell people, no, it has to be 100% and 100%. Both parties have to be willing to give 100% of themselves to the good of the relationship that they have with each other. If somebody only gives 50%, that leaves the other person without the other 50% of that person, when you think about it. They're only getting half of what that person's heart is, their commitment is, their love is. So relationships, as we have it with one another, as we have it with God, we have to give all we've got to be able to really benefit and make the relationship that we have with one another benefit as well. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in a non-reciprocal relationship where you're giving all that you can, all your time, all your energy, all your prayers, all your work, and all your commitment, and the other person is giving maybe 0% or 10% or 20% or 40%, I don't know about you, but that wears you out. That is not a reciprocal, even relationship. If you've ever been on a seesaw, I know maybe many of you may not even know what a seesaw is, because that's kind of like old school from when I was a child. But if you ride a seesaw with someone at the little parks that we used to go to, essentially, if you don't push off and the other person doesn't push off, there's no riding back and forth. One person could just sit there and the other person's just up in the air stranded. And that's how I sometimes see relationships that many of us have with other people. And so we also need to be the people that are always giving 100% of ourselves, especially to God. But if you give your 100% wherever you are, in your workplace, in your church, in your family, in your relationships, every time you give all of yourself, if you're 100% focused in at that moment to be present with that specific person in that specific moment, 100% of your mind is on them and on whatever the conversation might be even that you're having with them, and they're 100% engaged as well, that lends itself to personal and spiritual and wonderful growth. And especially your love relationship can only grow as a result of that as well. And Jesus uses this same example when he says that the measure that you give, whatever it is, to how you give to others, it's going to be measured back to you. So it's not so much about us keeping score about other people who don't give to us or share with us that 100% back to us. We don't need to keep score about that. Perhaps that's for them, God and them to work on. What I'm talking about, us, in each of us individually taking responsibility and accountability for being 100% in whatever it is we're doing. And also realizing that the measure of love we give to somebody else, the measure of forgiveness, the measure of mercy, the measure of listening, the measure of caring, the measure of sharing, all the measures that we give to others, God blesses it back to us. It doesn't always come from that direct person, but God always has a way of blessing us because we've been 100% in. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach here. You know, this particular scripture comes directly after the time that Jesus is on the way. He had already been to the triumphal entry. He's on the way into Jerusalem to give his life in chapter 18. And as he's there, a religious leader comes up to him and asks him, "What do I do to inherit eternal life?" And then Jesus says to him, "Well, what, do you follow the commandments?" And then the man says, "Yeah, I don't commit adultery, I don't murder, I don't steal, I don't testify falsely, and I honor my father and mother. I've obeyed all these," is what the way he answers that. That's only a few of the commandments, by the way, but needless to say. And then Jesus says, "There's still one thing that you lack." He's direct with this one person, face to face. And each and every one of us, God always convicts us or counsels us or touches us or guides us. He wants to help us grow spiritually. And he always looks at the thing that we can change for the better, especially when we ask the question, you know, "What can I do to be a better person? What can I do to be a better Christian? Well, how can I have a closer relationship with you, God?" Whatever the question is we ask of God, he then turns and asks us the question too, but also answers it by saying, "There's one thing you lack." He's specific with this religious leader. And he says, "Sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." So essentially, this man, his issue, I think, at least as it's read in scriptures here, is this man's possessions, what he owned, all that he had, he was keeping it to himself. So in this respect, he's a person who wasn't generous. He wasn't sharing with others. He wasn't following the scriptures that say how we're supposed to take care of the poor, as an example. And so Jesus tells him, "Go away and, you know, sell everything you have. Sell what owned you, in a way. Sell it. Get rid of it. Give the money to the poor. You know, do something with what your means of income is. Give it away. Then come follow me. Give up everything and follow me," basically. That's a hard thing for us to hear sometimes when God is saying through these scriptures this morning, "Give up everything? You mean I'm supposed to give up all the things I have and I love and I want and the way I do things, I'm supposed to give that up?" If that's what God asks of us, he doesn't ask us all of that, or all of us for that, I should say. But what he does with this specific man, obviously, because he was so rich, he had his faith and his trust in his riches, which the book of Proverbs is real clear about. We can't put our faith and trust in our riches. They can disappear just like wind. It blows away. And what's more important, our relationship, having a rich relationship with God and with others. And so Jesus, what happens here, it says, "But when the man heard this, he became sad because he was very rich. Jesus watched him go and said to his disciples, 'How hard it is for rich people to get into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.' And then they ask, 'Well, who can be saved then?' And Jesus answers, 'What is impossible from a human perspective is possible with God.'" So he's not saying that the reason rich people aren't going to get to the kingdom of God, it's not as though rich versus poor, one better than the other. What he is saying is, when you are so rich and your possessions, your money is more important than God, if you put anything ahead of God, and in this man's case, that's what it was, he couldn't give all of himself away, the things that owned him and he owned, to go follow Christ. That was kind of his stopping point for him. He wasn't willing to give up everything, 100%, and give it away so he could have eternal life. But it also says that with God, it's possible. In other words, from a human perspective, we can't be changed. Our heart has to be changed, and God has to change our heart to cause us to want to be 100% in. And then the disciples answer, "We've left our homes and followed you." And then Jesus replies, "I assure you, everyone who has given up house or wife or brothers or parents or children or anything else for that matter, for the sake of the kingdom." In other words, if God asks from us to serve him by giving up our time, giving up our energies, putting God ahead of others, even including ourselves or our spouses, whatever the case might be. If that's what God requires of us, to show love to others and show love to God, when we do that, we get rewarded. Because here's the next scripture. You will be repaid many times over in this life, as well as receiving eternal life in the world to come. So when you think about it, you think, wow, wait a minute, I'm giving up something, I'm going to get a reward as a result of that. That goes against our human perspective also. I do want to tell you this. If you give 100% of yourself into everything you do, God is going to reward that. If God asks of you to give whatever it is for you to give, each and every one of us, what God asks of us is different. Thank God Jesus has never asked me to go to the cross and die. I'm glad for that. But there's been other things that God's required of me and requires of you. It's all individualized, depending on who we are. And, you know, we move from a place very often to, in our spiritual growth, from becoming a believer, you know, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and sometimes that's where some people end. Other people become followers of Christ, depending on, you know, what we want to do in that. We set up our guidelines. Okay, God, I'll give you 4 days a week. The other three I need for myself, thank you. Or I'll give you Sundays. That's a good day. Yeah, that's the rest of the world kind of gives you Sundays. You're bargaining with God. See, the key is God is going to ask and require of each of us something different based on what we need the most spiritually. Because whatever we hold on to, whatever we hold back on from God is really what keeps us from fully experiencing the fullness of God, the spiritual growth that God would have for us. It helps us to let things go when we do. That's a part of us that we leave in the past. That's a part of us that we no longer take into the future. And it helps us climb that mountain of spirituality with God. And then we move from sometimes follower to a disciple, which is a student, which many of us still are. Someone who's learning about Christ, learning to his way, about loving each other and so forth. And then eventually we become disciple makers. That's what the New Testament really is all about. And what I think the great commission that Jesus left was to go make disciples of one another. And for each and every one of us, part of being the disciple of Christ is being willing to give 100%. He says there's a cost to following him. He says that we have to hate our life and love God more. We have to be willing to give away all of ourselves, as this widow did early on in the scriptures this morning. She gave everything she had, and it didn't leave her barren. It didn't leave her with nothing. What it left her with was a life of abundance through God, that her willingness to give all of herself away, as a result, putting herself 100% into God, God gave already 100% into her. And sustained her, took care of her, blessed her in ways that are unimaginable. And if nothing else, what we see is a beautiful example of truly somebody giving everything is different than someone giving 10%, 15%, or 50%. If all of us want a stronger, more vibrant, more abundant relationship with God and with others, each of us, we have to really look at our lives and say, what part am I giving to God? What part of myself am I depending on God? Am I depending on more of my own way of doing things? Am I relying on myself, my career, my income, all those things? I think, you know, all of us can realize that what we have can be gone in an instant. And we've seen it in this past year and a half now, how many things have disappeared out of our lives. However, if you've got God, you still have faith, you still have hope, you still have a way to know that you're going to be sustained. And God doesn't require 100% of us by not giving us 100% back. He's already given 110% of himself. So in light of relationships that we have with God and one another, the question we all have to ask ourselves today going forward is, do we give 100%? It's a question we can ask all the time in whatever we're doing. You know, sometimes if you sit around a table and you're having lunch with someone or dinner, and you're there with your spouse or your friends or whatever the case might be, and you know you're not technically 100%, you know, engaged with them because maybe you've got your phone over here and you're kind of checking Facebook or whatever the case is. You're kind of like, 60% in. Then you spot something and I'm going to share this with you, like as though that's the way to communicate with each other, right? There are so many subtle ways that we say to somebody that we're with, whoever that is, even God, when we get distracted by other things, we're not 100% in at all. And, you know, the thing about watching football this past Sunday night, when you think about every time somebody was distracted and looked the wrong way, dropped the ball. It's so easy, especially for those receivers, you know, and then the whole point of defense is to try to block their vision, right? But if their mind is distracted by just taking their eye off the ball for any instant, that ball gets dropped. Same thing is true in all other kinds of sports, particularly I played softball. So I know what it can mean to take your eye off the ball, whether you're batting or trying to catch. So think about relationships in the same way. When you're spending time with God, as an example, which I hope and pray you do each day, be 100% there. Sit in the quiet. Wait on God. Wait for God to speak. Say to God, you've got 100% of my undivided attention. And then God will speak to you. God will nurture you. God will minister to you. And God will help you understand what parts of you he's going to change for you. Because the beauty of God is this. You can just sit in God's presence and be struggling with some of this, you know, where you are in your relationship with God or others and what God wants from you and things of this nature. And God can gently nurture you, speak to you, minister to you, teach you, and help you by the power of the Holy Spirit. The beauty of what each of us have is God is 100% invested in each and every one of us. We saw that through what Jesus did. And so we can also be 100% invested in God and in one another. So the question becomes of the day, do you give 100% of yourself to your work, to your spouse, to your friends, to your family, to God, not necessarily in that order, to others, to individuals you don't even know? Do you give 100%? It's something to ask ourselves, and then to ask God to help us change that part of us. If it's only even 99%, ask God this morning to help you find a way that through the power of the Holy Spirit that you can be a 100% giver into this life. And I promise you, by you giving 100%, God will give you 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times more back to you. So that's the message for this morning. As we're here on Valentine's Day, let's give each person, 100% of all people, 100% of God's unconditional love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness. And it would be okay to give yourself 100% of love too. That would be okay. And then by loving yourself through God, you can also love others 100% as well. Amen? Amen.